Brothers and sisters, our Father God desires His children to resemble Him who is light and holy. Jesus said, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, also says, "Like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" Can a mere creature become holy and perfect like God? Yes, because it is God's word, we can, and we must do it. Yet, we initially belonged to darkness. Through Adam's sin, all his descendants have been born with the original sin and commit many sins in their lives. The master of sins is the enemy devil. It pairs with a Sunday morning service message. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 says, "Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God, though you are slaves of sin." For men who are slaves of sin and children of the enemy devil, God's only Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross and shed His precious blood. Whoever believes this is transferred from darkness to light, from being a child of the devil to that of God. Why? By believing in Jesus Christ, we are transferred from darkness to light and from being a child of the devil to child of the God. Why? It's all according to the spiritual law. Enemy devil cannot deny it. So that because the enemy devil's fault, the enemy devil violated the spiritual law. So whoever believes in Jesus Christ, because our Lord, our sinless Lord, bore the sins of the mankind and died on the cross, it was the mistake of the enemy devil. So, and they initially, Adam's authority was handed over to the enemy devil, but enemy devil violated the spiritual law by killing Jesus. So, this spiritual law was applied. Whoever believes in the Lord and lives in the light receives salvation. God doesn't do things forcibly. He follows the spiritual law. This is the basics of the holiness gospel from the message of the cross. By the Lord, we were promoted from being a child of the devil to God's children. Yet, many who have been saved by faith return to their former deeds of darkness and dwell in sins. They go back to their old ways, not realizing the sins and evil in their heart. They habitually commit sins. Therefore, we must cast off the old habits and strive to clothe ourselves with the light. Because we have become the our Jesus, in order to save us, He went through harsh suffering. Because Jesus bore our sins and died on the cross, we should not commit sins again. This is the hope of the Christians. But even after repenting, even after believing the Lord and repenting of the sins, and even after laying down the burdens of sin, But at some point, we commit sins again. Even though we have joy of salvation at the church, because even though we feel freedom, because we cast lay down the burden of sin, but as we live in the world and in our families, we commit sins again. But Christians don't know why. They say, I repented and my sins have been forgiven. I don't want to commit sin, but why am I committing sins? They have questions. They are because they haven't forgiven, they should not commit sins, and they should not commit sins again. And they don't know why. Even though they try not to commit sins, but they find themselves continuing to commit sins. As they try hard, because they the Apostle Paul also confessed the same thing in Romans. I have a part of me that does not want to commit sin, but I'm how afflicted I am, his confession. Why? Even though we were forgiven, so we were forgiven for our past sins, but still we have the sinful natures. Being forgiven for sins and removing our sinful natures is a different thing. And we are forgiven and we were saved, but even after we are saved, even after we accepted the Lord, we still have the sinful natures, sinful attributes. They remained in our hearts. That's why as we live our Christian life, we have to remove those forms of evil, remove those evil attributes. This should be the purpose of our Christian life. Once we accept our Lord, we are saved. Even though we are saved, we still have to make efforts, like pray to cast off those sinful natures. We have to discover them. We should remove the attributes of hatred. You just wonder why. Also, you find yourself with resentment. You find yourself with evil feelings. It's because you committed sins. I mean, you have to discover such. You have to remove those roots of sins. This should be the purpose of your Christian life. Then, not only you will be receive salvation, but you will advance to better dwelling places in heaven. Let's talk about a tree. Tree has its roots, and the branches bear fruit. The fruits are sins, and the roots and branches are the forms of evil, and the roots of evil, and the or the evil in your nature. Unless you have discovered and cast them off, even though you come to church and pray, repent, you will, on Monday, you will continue to commit sins during the week. If you don't want to bear fruits of sin, you have to remove its roots, its branches. That's why we are sharing this message. You have to remove even its roots, this is the sanctification. You have to resemble our Father God and recover the image of the Father. In the process of sanctification, we need to do reflecting. It means looking back on ourselves by the standard of God's word and discovering sins and evil. Reflecting on ourselves is like meditating or searching ourselves. What? Ourself, our heart, our sinful natures, our evil. We have to search like we are doing research. We have to reflect on ourselves. People who are doing research, like scientists, they have like microscope. Scientists have microscope to search things deeply, like germs and viruses. Like, you don't see the germs and viruses on your hand. They're not visible with our naked eye. But if we look at them through microscope, we see our germs and viruses. So during the COVID, we make sure to wash our hands. And when we cough, our saliva is not visible when we cough. But people say that when we cough, we have those small drops of water coming out from our mouth. But they contain viruses. So we should, when we cough, we have to cover our mouth with our arms, or when we cough, the drops of water flies far away, delivering the viruses. Even though they are not visible, how could people know? Scientists did a research, and they discovered them through the... Even though we don't see any germs on our hands with our naked eye, but when we look at it through a microscope, we can see them. The same way, these forms of evil have to be discovered in the same way. We have to go that far, yes, and root them out. Remove their roots and cut them off. You have to do that process. This is self-reflection. Reflecting is... And we also need a standard to do that. When we have sins and evil, I mean, we may not think of something as serious, but when God calls them sins and evil, they are sins and evil. Even with the changing of time, changing of generation, even though people don't consider something as sin, even though things have become convenient, and even though many Christians, but once God declares it is a sin, it is a sin. Even while people don't call them sin, even while many Christians don't call them sin, so that's why we have to have the word as the standard. So we have to be well aware of the Word of God and arm ourselves, study the Word of God in detail so that we can look at ourselves deeply and check our words and actions. So we have to hold on to the Word and check and examine our feelings, emotions, heart, and mind. This is... Today we will look closely at what we should reflect on in our daily lives and how we should do it. Through this message, may sanctification and New Jerusalem, which once seemed vague and distant, feel concrete and real and nearer. In order to go to New Jerusalem, you have to achieve sanctification. Sanctification is the... On top of sanctification, we have to be faithful in all God's house in order to enter New Jerusalem. But if you feel annoyed, if you lose the fullness, if you feel frustrated towards others, if you feel upset with others, if you still hold on to such sins and evil, and then you confess, you will go to New Jerusalem. If you still complain, if you still argue and quarrel and argue over what is right or wrong and compare yourself to others and slander others, speak ill of others, and you deliver or convey the gossips while you commit such sins, you confess that you will enter New Jerusalem. People give excuses that because another person committed a fault, that's why they are sharing such they give an excuses that they, under the excuse of discerning things, they talk about and speak ill of others. So they, and while they gossip, while they speak ill of others, they don't think it is the, they are applying the word of God in the wrong way. And they are having a wrong standard. I mean, they applying the, so you have to keep this in mind, and you have to discover exactly your sins and evil, and then even though you may, when once you discover sins and evil, you feel afflicted, and you so we have to go through that process. In heaven, we don't have an opportunity. So right now, we have to discover our sins and evil exactly and cast them off. Brothers and sisters, to be sanctified, we have to reflect on sins and evil. We have to discover the untruth in us, reflect on it, and change how we feel towards sins and evil. Once we discover, reflect, we discover sins and evil. Once we reflect, we begin to detest sins and want to cast them off. We just don't like, we just hate them having in our heart. And but the problem is, many say they hate sin and want to cast it off, yet still find pleasure in it. Let me, some people feel relieved when they get annoyed, when they slander others. They, before they gossip about others, they feel so stuffy. Such people, they feel, don't look happy, and people ask them, what's the matter with you? And they say, and it's gossip about others, and they, even though they know that they have to be silent and it is a sin, but they just want to say things. And when people are people get together, people say to each other, what's the matter with you? And they begin by saying, I shouldn't say this actually, but actually this thing happened. They just say things because they feel like saying it. They feel relieved only after they gossip about others, share or speak ill of others. Let's say you face some distressing event, and let's say you, let's say someone is making up lies and slandering me. Do I have to know that? Do I have to go and argue with him? So the church workers have to discern whether they have to report something to me or not. But let's say my secretary loves me so much, for example, and when other people gossip about me, and she's so upset. So when she feels upset, she has to check her heart. She has to understand that there are many kinds of people, and there are, but why should she feel upset? She has to ponder over herself, and she has to pray for them. She has to, then she would have a peace of heart. But if she thinks like, why is she acting that way? And she feels upset, and she harbors, and when she hears this kind of words, she feels so distressed. So she doesn't feel happy. So when I meet her, I ask her, "What's the matter with you?" And she says, "Oh no, it's okay. I'm okay." And I push her to say, "If you hurt something, talk to me." And then she says, and she reports it to me. But and then she says that I am saying this for your sake. But actually, when she says that, she feels upset. She feels distressed. She is overwhelmed. When someone feels overwhelmed, that's because she has a narrow or small vessel. She's a... Even though you say you want to cast off sin, but actually you like them and you feel comfortable committing the things of the flesh and the works of the flesh. But when one truly hates sin and considers to be filthy, he will quickly cast it off. Therefore, we have to reflect on things, pray earnestly, and change our feelings towards sin. You have to... Once you discover and find out your sins and evil, that's not the end. You have to, you have to reflect on them, and then you have to, it's not merely knowing in your head that sin is wrong and God hates it, but when you truly come to hate sin in your heart, it becomes much easier to cast it off. Let us first go over some of the deeds of the flesh. Sins committed in action, we will reflect on irritation and anger. People who show irritation often claim that they have their own reasons, but with such self-justification, they can never cast off irritation and anger. I will explain. And men's mission members, if you have irritation and anger, you still show your anger. If you're still showing anger, you have to listen to this message. And when other people say them, "Why are you angry?" And they say, "When was I angry?" Even though they say things out loud and raise their voice, they don't even recognize that they are angry because it has become their habit. So for example, as some people have a loud voice, and when other people point it out, "You have a big voice," then they have to recognize that, and they have to try to change their habit, and they have to always recognize that they have a big voice, loud voice. When they speak, they have to recognize, they have to be careful with their voice, sound volumes of their voice. Once sins and evil has become united with your body, it has become your habit, and it has become part of your life. So they don't acknowledge them. They don't admit them. Even after they commit sins, they don't even recognize them. If they are sins leading to death, they know. But there are things, and there are... If those things have become part of their life, so even though someone advises them, they don't realize it, and they give excuse, and they say, and then they give another excuse, "Because I have my own reason for my irritation and anger." They are giving excuses in self-centered ways. From God's perspective, showing irritation is never right. When Jesus was trying to sanctify the temple, He picked up the whip and drove out the people and overturned the tables of the money changers, and He spoke in a loud voice. Physically, He was speaking in a loud voice, but it was not anger, because He did it out of a righteous anger. So, except for such cases, some people say that I have my own reasons, and Father God would acknowledge my action, then they are far from being changed. So you don't have to give excuses. And how should we think about this? If you have anger and irritation, let's think about this. Ask yourself, does getting irritated change the situation? In relationships between parent and child, when the child does not study, when the child does not tells lies and hangs out with bad kind of guys, hangs out in a bad, goes to visit bad places, and does not do his duties as if they were students, and their parents would scold them, showing irritation, and the parent would give an excuse that they show irritation because they have their own reasons. But think about this. Does getting angry, does showing irritation change the situation? Nowadays, there are TV shows, parents showing how parents correct their wrong behavior of their child. Also, when we go to the parents also have their problems. Because parents have their problems, child becomes and develop problems. And then also the child develops problems and gets angry and even hits his own parents. Even little children, they are, as things, when young kids, when their parents are angry, they are surprised. When parents speak in a loud voice, when they are young, when parents show anger, it may work. But as they get angry again and again, the child would become numb and they will be out of control. When children get punished again and again, they will not even feel pain. Even if they get hit with a rod, they get... When parents get angry, the child at first may... But as time passes by, the child would also get angry. And then after they have grown up, they would begin to ignore their parents. And the Holy Spirit cannot help them change their child. If you... You know, some great figures, they don't... Mostly they say how kind their parents were, how warm-hearted their parents were. But they actually didn't have angry parents. If you want to receive God's help, at first you have to walk in the light. But if you show irritation, anger, and it makes your child rough, and it makes your child also show anger and irritation. So as a parent, even if your child gets... You may think that your anger may work at first, but as time goes by, it doesn't work. sometimes, and our shepherd, when as for me, when I disobeyed several times, when I argued back, the shepherd stopped saying. And later, I realized that it was all love and grace. And after that, even though I realized that it was I was wrong, and but I realized that the shepherd embraced me. He didn't say things like, "That doesn't mean I argued." The shepherd didn't show anger or irritation, but he took a step back. When I insisted on my opinion, he just took a step back and embraced me. And he was like, "If you think that way, I don't have to." And then after a week, after a month, after as I recalled the conversation, I realized that I was wrong. And he was, I realized that he didn't show his, he didn't get angry, but he tried to make me understand. And also I meditated on it, and I, this is the good way of rebuking your children, a good way of giving advice to your children. When your child gets angry, irritation, child, they show their anger and irritation. This is, they are disrespectful to their parents. But Father God blesses people who show respect to their parents, and they are in the habit of showing, like they, "Mom, I have to," they show anger or irritation for trivial matters. They don't, they may not get things, whatever they want. And like during a meal, what's on the table is, they don't like it, they may get annoyed. Their parents prepare what's the best for their kids, but they, even though there's nothing on the table that they like, they have to. But if they get annoyed, the relationship is broken, and because they are being disrespectful to their parents, and so the children, they have to be dutiful. They have to do their duty as a kid. If they slam the door and go inside the room and stop talking, this, put yourself in the, it's breaking each other's heart, and this, their such anger, irritation, and relationship between spouses. What kind of ways are you talking? Because your wife doesn't do what you want her to do. That's why people raise their voice. But as this repeats, they just begin to ignore each other. They just show irritation in their speech. They're ignoring each other. if you cherish one another, they will never speak like that. In your relationship with your spouse, in your wife or your husband, you promise to love each other, and but at some point you disregard and ignore your spouse. And what kind of things your child would learn from that? And how could you receive answers and blessings from your God? And if you don't even serve and respect your child, what does the Bible say? Your wife or your husband is your body. You don't just demand love from one side, but you have to, there should be mutual love, mutual respect. And you have to remember that they are one, you are one body, and you have to speak warmly to each other. Married couples, men and women, don't try to change another, your spouse. You're married. There's some married couple in front of me are laughing. It's true. How long have you been married? 20 years? 30 years? You cannot change your spouse. They are not changed. You, think about yourself. Are you changed? You cannot even change yourself. How can you change your spouse? How could you change your spouse? It's impossible. So that's the beginning of misery, beginning of unhappiness. So you have to be very careful in giving advice. So in your relationship with your spouse, and so if you feel irritated or annoyed, it's all because you have evil in you. You have to, I'm speaking in so much detail, you have to apply this in your life. But the word and your life shouldn't be separated. It should go hand in hand. That can be applied in your relationship with others, and in the relationship with your brothers and sisters, in all kinds of people. And when you get angry, when you feel, if you show your anger or show your ill feelings, that doesn't help you. If you speak angrily, if you point out things, even though another person seems to relent, I mean, and when you get angry, you don't, as you see another person showing anger, you have to know how bad it is. When you see another person showing anger, you think, oh, why is he acting that way? But you don't realize that you are showing this anger the same way. By seeing others showing anger, you have to look at on yourself. You have to realize how a person's anger can distress others, how one's irritation and anger can distress others and break people's heart. And also think from others' perspective, how much your family, friends, or co-workers will suffer when you show irritation or anger. Don't say that you have on your own reasons for your irritation and anger, but you have to always think from other perspective. Moreover, the Bible warns what punishment comes to those who become angry with their brothers. Matthew chapter 5 verse 22 says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." If you hold on to this word, reflect on yourselves, and pray, we will have no reason to be irritated or angry. How foolish it would be to face God's judgment for losing our temper.
않는다면 아 이거 얼마나 어리석은 일입니까? 지금 내 감정 억제하지 못해서 살게 되고.
If you don't control your anger, if you don't control your feelings and show anger, if you because of that you face judgment. If God says, didn't you get angry with your brother? Didn't you get angry with your family members? If you are judged this way, how shameful this would be. If you don't repent, if you don't turn back, every record remains and you'll be judged for everything and you will end up in a lower level dwelling place in heaven. So you have to realize that and you shouldn't show your anger and anger even though you have your own reasons. You shouldn't give an excuse. That thus, why should we hold on to such useless anger as we reflect on ourselves like this and come to feel disgusted by irritation and anger? We will pray more. We will pray more fervently. You have to hold on to these things and pray. You have to pray. Father, I have anger, but as I see people with hot temper, they are making their faces look so bad, and they are distressing, agonizing others. They are harassing, and he is ruining the atmosphere, but he doesn't realize that. But I am the same kind of person. Father, I'm so ashamed. I don't like to be that kind of person. Please help me cast off such hot temper, anger. You have to pray this way. You have to, when you pray for yourself, and you have to, if your urgent matter is anger, you have to pray that way. Father, anger is so bad. I want to cast it off. Please help me. And when you are in a situation, Father, when I am in a situation, please help me contain my anger. But in order to not to get angry, I have to remove if originally Father, let me become a person who can make a loss for others, who can serve. You have to, as you pray that way, you can pray more, you can find praying more interesting, more amusing, more happier, and you can look at deeper at yourself. And that process, and that so you are going deeper and deeper into the roots of your sins and evil. So such prayer, such medication is going down, deep down into the roots of sins and evil, and you have to reflect on them, and you have to hold on to. Now let us reflect on quarrels. When differences in thoughts or opinions cause a quarrel, a person who does not reflect on himself blames others, repents superficially, or prays for others to change. Some people, they just pray for others to change instead of themselves. They just pray in absurd way. But one who deeply reflects on himself and searches the depth of his heart is different. Having the truth as a standard, he thinks that having a quarrel itself was wrong and examines himself. But some people don't even recognize that they had a quarrel, and they had a whatever the reason that and he reflects on what kind of heart he had toward others. You have your feelings and others. So when you have difference of opinion, you have to think about others. And then you discover arrogance, you have discovered condemnation, and you discover your arrogance, and you have your self-righteousness. That's why the quarrels happened. And so as you reflect on quarrel, you discover many forms of evil. Like when you have a difference, we have to examine whether we judge another person and have ill feelings thinking. Again, he's insisting on being right. Did we quickly dismiss their opinion as wrong and speak or act as if disregarding them? Even though, let's say, you have a quarrel and another person began to speak loudly, and if you don't reflect on yourself, you give an excuse, because another person spoke loudly, I began to fight, I began to quarrel. But if you reflect on yourself, you have to, you discover the reason why another person raised his voice. And even though you don't speak loudly, even though another person raised his voice and began to get angry, and then people are like, why is he acting that way? But they themselves have to know the reason why another person showed his anger or raised his voice. You, in your heart, you are disregarding, you are ignoring that person. That's why another person raised his voice. So you have to discover the reason why. And if you, it is wrong when another person gets angry, but you have to also think about yourself. Why another person, how you cause another person to get angry and speak loudly? Even if you speak in a gentle voice, even if you didn't raise your voice, but God knows your heart. And they don't admit themselves. So they have to admit, reflect on themselves and how. And because you, in your heart, you have disregard for other people, that's why another person felt disregarded, felt ignored, and spoke loudly. So it is your fault. So you cause another person to raise his voice. So you have to reflect on yourself, and that's how you make peace. That's how you, and because you have disregard for another person, and if you don't reflect on yourself, you cannot discover it. Because you spoke gently, because you didn't raise your voice, you cannot. But if you reflect on yourself with the Holy Spirit reminds you, reminds you of the times when you ignored and you disregarded, disrespected another person. And and when you are having a meal, when you choose a, but another, this is a, then when you disregard others, that means you are arrogant. That you have to check your character and check your heart. And when you, and also you have to think about your facial expression, because you don't look at your mirror when you talk. You don't realize how, what kind of facial expression you had. But you have to be recognizant of that. And Ms. Bong Nguyen once said, when I said, I mean, once Ms. Anyway, she said that when I was said something and I looked at a mirror, and Ms. Bong Nguyen said, so when you talk with others and so you may have some, you have to be recognizant of that. What about your tone? You have to also check your tone. Some people have a, have a teaching or a critical tone. They have formed a habit of always speaking that way. If this is your case, you have to realize that. And whenever you say something, you sound teaching or critical, your tone, you have to reflect on it and try to change that, improve that. And nowadays, you can record your voice, your cell phone, you have to turn on your recorder, and you have to and record your voice, and then you will realize what, why other people consider your tone to be teaching or critical. If you don't make efforts, even if you pray, Father, I want to go to New Jerusalem, I want to resemble our Lord, even if you pray that way, you cannot change. Your, check your tone and check your facial expression and the attitude and your feeling towards others. We have to, that's, reflect on them. When we gave advice to another person and he didn't admit his wrong, didn't we feel irritated?
말 그대로 다툼이 드러나지는 않았지만 마음 안에 이러한 짜증스러움. 그럴 때 사람들은 뭐라고 변명한다고요?
Didn't we have a
좋은 마음으로 건면했는데 인정하지 않아서 그래서 내 짜증스러움과 기분 상하고 하는 걸 덮어버리더라고요. 자, 이거 이렇게 하면 변화 안 된다는 거 알아야 합니다.
So if you wanna, didn't we have a condemning heart? Didn't we feel impatient, belittle him with arrogance or dislike him?
다툼이 있을 때 이러한 마음들이 복합적으로 있을 수 있어요.
When we have a quarreling heart, such things appear, such things arise. You may think, I love him so much. I love, he's so precious. If you think of another person that way, you never quarrel. If you, if you really love and respect another person, you will not have a quarrel. And even if you receive a rebuke or receive advice, you will not. But if you have a disregard, if you ignore another person, quarrels can happen very often. So you have to admit yourself. And you shouldn't put the blame on others, but you have to put the blame on the arrogance in you, and you put the blame on the condemnation in you. Because you have hatred, quarrels happen. If you don't have hatred, you cannot have a quarrel, or even if... Another, even if you cherish another person, you may show irritation and you is.
어떤 우리의 일들 안에서는요, 그때 그 사건 안에서의 감정이 잠깐일 수 있습니다.
그거 뭐 you
만나는 일은 자주지만 교회 안에서 서로 믿음의 형제,
husband and wife meet often, but brothers and sisters sometimes they meet. They Levi workers and pastors they don't a conflict each. Every day, it may happen once a month or once a week. They may have some discomfort among them, but even there is a it's a even such things may happen temporarily, and but you shouldn't let it pass. If even if that things happen only temporarily, you shouldn't forget about that. You shouldn't let it pass. Then you cannot change yourself. You have to replay. You have to replay that scene. You have to recall what you said, what you acted. You have to recall your feelings, recall your emotions. This is the effort you have to make on your part. This is reflecting. When you say and did something, you have your feelings and but you may not remember them clearly. And many people, they don't even remember what they said. But you have to do that. You have to think about what kind of feelings, what kind of emotions you had when you spoke and acted. And let's say another person came to you and boasted about himself and you felt uncomfortable and you thought, why he's always bragging about himself? And then you... And then after a while, you have to recall what kind of feelings you had when another person bragged before you, and you people forget about that, what happened, and And some people, you may have some uncomfortable, you have to reflect on them, ponder over them deeply, you have to repent, and as you brothers and sisters work together for God's kingdom, men and women, brothers and sisters, and then another person, when another guy or brother or sister acts nicely, you feel attracted, and you feel attracted, and then you also have to reflect on such feelings. And you have to decide whether you have to also control yourself. Initially, when we reflect on ourselves, we may only see others' faults and fail to notice our own. And you, even though you try to reflect on what happened, you only think about others' faults. Yet, as we strive to discover ourselves, having the truth as the standard, we can gradually discover and acknowledge our evil. Once we discover it, we are to pray in detail, earnestly and continually. Then we can get closer and closer to sanctification. Now, next, let us look into the things of the flesh committed in our thoughts and hearts. Because we are running out of time, we will cover it next week. Reflecting on yourself, and do you think it is arduous? Do you think it is demanding? And some people say that, I don't want to think so deeply about myself. But you may have. This is reflection that you have to do to in order to New Jerusalem. So if you don't want to think about yourself, it's like saying, I don't want to enter New Jerusalem. And once you are in habit of doing that, the Holy Spirit will awaken you, and your Christian life will be joyful. And when you discover this and that, you can have prayer titles, you can have prayer subjects, and as you pray, and you can remove them one by one, and as you can ultimately remove even the roots, and you have to do all the process, and you will find yourself having been changed. Did you reflect on yourself? And even though you may have many things to cast off in the truth, I hope you, and then if you continue this process, you can find yourself better and better and improving day by day.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.